So last week we started this brand new sermon series called You, all a new perspective about you. So this sermon series is about changing your perspective about a few things in life. And last week I talked about that when God closes a door, He opens another door. And He does that in the process of change. We all want to change. We all want a new self. But we don't want to go through the process of change. And I said that sometimes, God opens a door and closes the door. And sometimes you're in the hallway. And we need to learn to praise God through the hallway. Open doors and closing doors, there's all kind of things that happens there. But the most important thing is, what is your attitude as you walk through the hallway? Today, I want to change your perspective about difficulties in life. Because here's the thing. Life is hard. Is there anyone here who wants to argue with me against that, right? Does anyone want to make a point against that? And let me illustrate it this way. Let me tell you an experience that I have this a few weeks ago. I had a conversation with a group of people, and I asked, I want to go a little deeper with them, and I asked this question, right? I asked a question like this. What are some areas of your life that you feel like God is testing you, God is trying you? What is the area of your life you feel like God is challenging you on? Right? Because reality is that we are consistently being challenging in our lives. And I think part of God's part of the process of challenging. And I asked that question. I wasn't even done asking the question. A lady raises her hand and she said, health. Health is one of those areas that God is challenging me and my family. And she goes on to talk about mental health. How that is really afflicting pain in her family life. And reality is if we're not struggling ourselves with health, somebody else in our family is struggling with sickness, right? Someone else raised their hand and talked about the job. And that guy was like, man, the expectation in my job is, I can't meet those expectations. I don't have the energy or the expertise to perform accordingly. It is crazy what my employees are asking of me. That person wasn't even done talking, and we were having that conversation. Someone said, children, the stress related to children. And I'm a parent myself, and I bought right into that. And so we started talking about parenting and teaching your kids how to have a relationship with people and how to be courteous and respectful. And you remember back in the day where everybody was called to shake someone's hand and look someone in the eye? Right, it's a sign of integrity and character, and so we got to talk about all of that, and I asked the question, right, because the hope of a parent of kids, I have three kids, 13, 10, and 9, 8, somewhere in there, so as a parent like that, you always think, like, they're going to grow up, and my life is going to be easier, right? How many of you guys think like that? Right, you have a kid, it's the pain all the time, you don't sleep at night. I have a 9-year-old who always climbs on my bed in the middle of the night. I'm like, are you kidding me? When is this going to stop, right? So we have all these things going on. So the hope is that they're going to grow older, and then things are going to be easier. So one of those parents that was there, they were older parents, and they're like, don't be like dreaming like something that was never going to come true. They said, once a parent, always a parent. The circumstances will change, but the stress of being a parent will never go away, you know? And then in that conversation, I don't know why, but I know why, because I had a conversation with someone that week about this, and I mentioned, what about betrayal? Is betrayal relationships, is betrayal something that God has been challenging you in? That week, I had a conversation with someone who betrayed me big time. In my past, he stabbed me in the back really time, big time, and created lies and lied about me, lied about my family, and there was a lot of pain and suffering that person brought to me and Laura and the kids, and it was very, it was. Can I say I did not like that guy anymore? Right? Have you ever been there? You betrayed and you cannot bear to hear that name, that person's name anymore. So I was kind of that, but I heard that he became an atheist. He was a worship pastor, and he became an atheist. And right away, I listened to his podcast that he was on talking about that. And I got a conviction in my heart from God to say, call that guy. Call that guy. And I called him, and I said, listen, buddy, I didn't know if you want to hear my voice, but I had to make this phone call, and I had to call and say, hey, I don't know if I have ever done anything towards you that led you astray from Jesus, but I want to say I'm sorry. I want to apologize. I'm humbling myself before you, and I'm saying, dude, don't do that. To which he responded, Sam, I never thought I would ever hear your voice again, and I've been wanting to call you for the last 3 years, and I haven't. And here's what I want to say. You did nothing wrong. I have done a lot of things. And he went on to himself to apologize to me. And we went through a few things and clarified a few other things. But reality is that there are people who have betrayed us. There are friends that were close to us, who had let us down, who lied about us, who used us, who hurt us. And in many cases, sometimes it's people that are very close to you. Some of you, your spouse has stabbed you in the back or lied about you. Maybe your mom and dad, maybe your best friend, your co-worker. I don't know what it is. But here's the thing. Life is tough, and the word betrayal, it is a tough one. When I said that word, everybody was quiet. You could feel the pain, right? You could feel the tension in the air. We moved on from that conversation to the conversation of money. And you know, some people have too much money. So many people have a lot less. And here is the truth, is that it doesn't matter if you have a lot or less. It causes problems to your life. I don't know if you know this, but one of the major reasons why there's divorce out there is because of money. And so after we having all this conversation, we came out with this feeling that we are fragile. That we are weak. Have you ever felt that way in your life? You feel like that you're living life and you feel like you're fragile. You feel like you're going to break right at any moment. You feel like that you're weak and you don't have the strength to go through another heartbreak, through another financial problem, through another mental health problem or job expectation. And you're stressed with your child and you don't think you can go through another difficult times with them. We feel like that all the time. And that's how we felt after that conversation. We felt like the life could slip away in a second. We felt unstable and insecure. And at one moment of that conversation, I felt tired. And I felt like I was fainting. We felt completely tragic. Like there was this feel of tragedy and dreadfulness in our hearts. We all have been there. And I want to make a question for you. What is going on in your life right now that is causing you to feel fragile, to feel weak and unstable and insecure and tired? What is making you feel fragile? What makes you feel like I'm going to break it? We all read the Bible, and there are some of the verses of the Bible that I feel like that it's like I wanted that verse to my life, and I wanted to that life that verse to be like a living thing, path for me. And Jeremiah chapter 17 is one of them for me. I have it up there for you. Chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And I'm reading from the Voice. And this is one of those verses that I feel like, man, I want this verse to be the anthem of my life, right? And because there's a promise here for us, and we all like what it says here. It says this, blessed is the one who trusts in me alone. The eternal will be his confidence. This is God, of course, talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and he's talking to the Israelites, to God's people, and say, blessed is the person who trusts in me alone and whose confidence is me and in me alone. I mean, we all like the word blessed. How many of you hate the word blessed? Nobody, right? We all want to be blessed. We have blessed written everywhere, and we tell people, be blessed. And blessed in the Bible has this idea of being someone to whom God intervened as his favor, right? Being blessed means that God has intervened in your favor, and you got some things extra from God. We all want to be blessed. Blessedness has this idea of prosperity, of being successful, and being someone who has nothing against, that can go against them. We all feel like we want to be blessed. And he goes on and tells, but blessed is the one, and if you want to be blessed, there's a couple of things that have got to happen in you, right? And the first one is trust, and the second one is have confidence in God. But I feel like I trust God. Don't you feel like you trust God? Right? Don't you feel I have confidence in God? Don't you feel have confidence in God? We all do, but He's the reality. He's the truth. I trust God. I have confidence in God. And life is so hard that I don't feel that I'm blessed sometimes. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Right? You feel like, I trust God. I'm confident in God. And the Bible tells me I'm blessed. But man, I don't feel blessed right now. Jeremiah goes and gives a metaphor. God gives a metaphor through Jeremiah to us. Like, listen, someone who's blessed, someone who trusts me and who's confident, he's like a tree planted by a water, sending out its roots beside the stream. It does not fear the heat or even the drought. Its leaves stay green, and its fruit is dependable no matter what faces it. Wow, what a metaphor, right? God's like, if you trust me, if you have a confidence in me, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be like that tree who is always green, who is always producing fruit. You are dependable. You'll be dependable all the time. And I'm like, that's the kind of person I want to be, right? Someone who is resilient, someone who is dependable, someone who people can count on. And nothing that comes against me will push me back. I don't know how many of you guys have ever heard about a guava. I love guava, right? Do you guys know who guava is? The fruit is a fruit, guava. So I met a couple this morning that they know what guava is. Us from South America and Central America, we know what guava is, right? It is amazing fruit. It is green on the outside, and there's two kinds. One's red on the inside or white on the inside, right? They have seeds on the inside. Man, let me tell you, it is an amazing fruit. I love it. My grandma had it at her house. You all remember going to grandma's house, don't you? I remember going to grandma's house, and one of the things that I love about grandma's house is that I could get guava. You go up the tree, and you get it. Here's the thing. It was winter, summer, autumn, spring. It doesn't matter when you went to it. There was guava on that tree. You could depend on it. Every time I wanted to eat a guava, you go to it, there was one on it. It was amazing. And here's the thing that I was reminded about this is that, listen, we can be like that, dependable and fruitful at every moment of our lives, even the most difficult moments of life. And that's what Jesus is telling us through His Word. So we were talking about all of that with that group, and we have more conversation. Someone said this, a lady said this, God fits the trial to the person, so that what happens to me can't be compared with what happens to you. The lady said that. She's like, Sam, you know what? In my life, I have found that, God fits the trial to the person. So what happens to me can't be compared to what happens to you. And I came to, and I was thinking about that and thinking about the scripture. And I was like, man, you're right. Your trials are designed just for you. They might be the same in nature, but the God who created you, who knows you, He creates the trials, and He provides those things that's gonna that comes in your life just for you. Our struggles are not all the same because we have a wise Heavenly Father who fits the pressure we are going to face to the person, the individual. And I think the brother of Jesus really captured on that, and I think he would agree with me. It is not about facing a custom-made trial to your life. It is how you respond to that. Because here's the reality. We are all going to go through difficulties. It is not about the tailoring of it. It is about how you respond to the moments that you're going in life. How are you responding to those times? How are you responding to those difficult times in your life? There is a proper way to respond to it. And I think James teaches us that in many ways. And he says in James chapter 1 verses 2 and 4, he tells us in his letter to the church, he reminds us that that trials, hard times, difficult situations are a necessary part of our spiritual growth. So it is not about facing it, because we all will. It is how you respond to it. It's a necessary part of your growth. I love this because here's the thing. We want to be better in everything, right? We want to be better in a lot of things. And and we know that the only way to be better is to go to go through some stuff, right? So here's what he's saying. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, produces resiliency, right? And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Listen, let me tell you, let me burst a bubble here. The only way you're going to be found yourself complete, the only way you're going to be mature, you make stronger, is if you go through some stuff. Let me tell you this. Do you want your marriage to be better? You got to go through some stuff. Do you want your parenting style to be better? You got to go through some stuff. Do you want your professional life to be better? You got to go through some stuff. And those stuff is tailor-made by God to you so that you could become complete, perfect, lacking nothing. I have, my two boys, they love sports, they love soccer. And being someone who loves soccer myself, I know a lot of things about it. And so I take them working out with me. And if you follow me through social media, you have seen me post about it. And all those times that I take them working out is tailor-made to them, but for their age and according to their resistance that they can show, right? So I go and I think about it, how many miles can they run, how many push-ups they can do, and so on and so forth. And here's the thing. They cannot be better if they don't go through it. They say that in the gym all the time, no pain, no gain. So I'm teaching my kids the pain is a good thing, not so much a bad thing. It is not about having the pain. It is about how you respond to the trials of life. And James tells us, count it all joy. Wow. That's a perspective changer right there. To count difficulties of life, to go through it with a smile in your face, with a happiness that comes from the inside out, it is a different way of seeing it, isn't it? James also reminds us that there is a blessing reserved for those who respond rightly to the pressures, to the hard times we face in life. James chapter 1 verse 12, he reminds us that there is a blessing that comes from God to you. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast, who is strong and who is resilient, who persevere under trial, for when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Listen, we're all going to go stop whining about it. We're all going to go through difficult times. It's not about the whining. It's about how we respond to it. And the best way to respond to it is to be resilient when difficult times come. On chapter verse 13 and 15 of the same chapter, he reminds us not to blame God when hard time comes. Let no one say that he's tempted. I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. He himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin, and when sin fully grown, brings forth death. And what James is telling us is, listen, you're going to go through some stuff, and here's the thing, if you fall for it, it's not because of God, it's because of yourself. God will never put you in a situation that you're never going to thrive on it, even if it's a difficult one. Do you know that? I'm going to illustrate for you in a second here. Because God himself is the foundation by which we stand. James, on chapter 1, verse 16 and 18, he develops the argument by reminding us that God is good all the time, even during our hardest trials. When we can say it this way, God is not on trial during our trials. We are. We are the ones. So it is important for us to respond properly. It's so crucial when we are facing difficulties. And James helps us understand that hard times help us in the process of being resilient, of being resistant, and being dependable. At times we feel weak. Fragile are moments which we are practicing resiliency. And the only way to get better and being strong and courageous is if you go through some stuff. So I have this statement. I needed to read it for you. Resilience is just achieved when you have endured the challenges that come your way. You can't be resilient if you don't face some stuff. You can't be dependable if you don't face some stuff. You can't be strong and courageous if you face some stuff. You can't persevere if you don't face some stuff. You will. It is God tailor-made for you, but it's made for you to succeed. Let me use an illustration here for you. James chapter 1 and 2 that we just say talks about that, right? Being resilient, being courageous. And I like to think of a lighthouse. And here's the thing. We don't enjoy pain and suffering, but we should rejoice when God allows us to endure some of the difficult times that we have in life. We all face storms in life. We all go through times when we're blown off course, when we are hammered by waves, and when we are stumbling through the chaos, blind looking for direction. That's one of the things that I love about a lighthouse. Even during the strongest, darkest of the storms, a lighthouse stands immovable, providing a light to direct people who are struggling. And I think it reminds me of Jeremiah, what he's saying. Like, listen, you want to stand, you want to be dependable, you got to do two things. You trust God, and you find your confidence in Him. That's the foundation that we find, that we have in God. The only way you're going to withstand against the storms of life is if your trust is in God and your confidence is in God. And I love that picture right there, right? Because it reminds us that if we are the lighthouse and God, the trust in God and the confidence in God is our foundation, there is no storm that can hit you that will drop you. I love lighthouses because it talks about resilience. So many of us think that God Himself is the lighthouse. God is no lighthouse. You were designed by God to be the lighthouse. Well, God, where is God in the picture then, Sam? Jesus tells us on John 8:12. I am the light of the world. You are the lighthouse. Jesus is the light that shines through the lighthouse. We are so many times thinking that God is the one who's going to resist for us. That is not God. God is shining through those moments in your life. You are the one who is founded in Him through trust and confidence. I have another picture. So it's not about the storm. It's also about the fog. So many times we are like that lighthouse in the midst of the fog, right? We cannot know where it is. But listen, the light of, we cannot know the direction of our lives. There's so much uncertainties in our lives, and we feel just like that. But here's the thing about lighthouses, that we stand against not only against the storm, but it shines its light through the fog so people can see it. And we become then the beacon of peace to those in our lives, to those around us. And people can fish through it and see through it, because we, resilient people of God, is allowing Jesus to shine through us into the world. I have another picture of it in the dark. Sometimes we feel like the lighthouse. We're in the dark. There's dark surrounded all around it. And people around us is in the same way. There's no darkness, and they're looking for a light. And let me tell you, that light is found through you. It is not about going through the darkness. It's not about going through the fog. It's not about the storm. All of those things were designed by God for you to shine Jesus in the life of everybody around you. So many of us, we lose the purpose and the perspective that God is using us even through the storm, even through the fog, even through the darkness. I love what Lacrae says. He says this. He's a Christian rapper, a singer, and this is what he says. Peace doesn't mean you won't have problems. It means problems won't have you. And so many times we are allowing the problems to have us. We are often worshiping the problem, not the one who fixed the problems in our lives. We make the problem the foundation of our lives, when in reality they are just a temporary waves, wind, and storms that we are facing. And those circumstances are stealing the peace of God from us. It's stealing the light of Jesus in us. It's muffling, it's covering it up, the light of Jesus in our lives. We got to stop worshiping the storm. We got to stop worshiping the darkness. We got to stop worshiping the fog and start focus in the light of Jesus that is inside of us. And the only way to do that is to trust and to have confidence in God. Here's the thing that I love about the lighthouse analogy is that a lighthouse resists. It doesn't hide. A lighthouse can't hide. Even, I have one more picture about a lighthouse. Even when life is smooth and the sun is shiny, even when everything is good, you still stand, your light still shining. It doesn't matter what part of life or what's going on, that's what you're designed to do. You're designed to withstand the trials and the temptations that comes your way because God is your foundation, your trust and your confidence in Him and Him alone. And here's the thing, if you are a lighthouse and you are fading away and you are falling down, it is because your trust and confidence is not in Him. Who are you putting your trust and confidence on? A larger banking account? A better wife or husband? More kids? A better job? What do you put in your confidence and your trust in? A better health? Because reality is, the older we get, well, I shouldn't have said that. Because there's a lot of older, more healthier people than I am. But reality is that we are always putting our trust and our confidence in somebody or in something. And if it is Jesus, you stand up. If you're not, then I think that's where the trouble comes from. Let me drive this point a little farther. I have another picture for you. And it is a biblical picture. And it's of a tree. It's called the acacia tree, all right? There was a big debate in the worship room this morning. How should I pronounce this word, you know? Is this tree? It's A-C-A-C-I-A, right? It's acacia, whatever that tree is. But here's the thing. This is a tree that was in Palestine before Jesus' times. The Israelites uses this tree, trees like this one, to make buildings, right? The Ark of the Covenant was made out of acacia tree, okay? A tree just like that. And here's what is so cool about this tree is that this tree, their design with the roots that goes so deep into the ground, so deep that it finds the nutrients that it needs to survive in the hardest terrain out there. They're found only in deserts, right? That's where they are found. They're found in deserts. And look at this picture. Can you see water anywhere in there? I mean, I see this picture. I'm thinking, how in the world can a tree survive a desert land like that? Right? The only way to survive a desert place like that is if your roots are so deep down into the ground that you can find the nutrients that you need in order to survive. In order to get the nutrients that you need to be dependable and to be resilient and to be the kind of person that sticks around, who perseveres. So many of us as Christians, our roots were designed to go deep, but we are not going deep enough into the God that we have, who designed us and who created us, into the one who we should put our trust and confidence in. We don't go our roots deep down into God. We don't spend time with Him. We don't invest time with Him because we're trusting that a better job will do it. We're investing on the next relationship because we think the next husband and wife will do it. We are getting working hard in 40, 60, 80 hours a week because we think that more money is going to do, and our trust and our confidence that is not in God. We're not dipping ourselves into God. We're dipping ourselves in so many other things. And let me tell you this, you're not going to survive the desert if your deep roots are not in God. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You were designed to dig deep into God. Did I scare somebody? Maybe this morning, your trust and and your confidence not in God, and you just realize that, and you know you're made to be a lighthouse, you know you're made to be a acacia tree, and you're perishing, and let me tell you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your trust and your confidence would go deeper and deeper into God. Because the promise is clear by God to us. Let me read you another passage and I'm closing. Isaiah 58:11. All right? Isaiah 58:11 says this. The Eternal One will never leave you. He'll lead you into the way that you should go. When you feel dried up and worthless, God will nourish you and give you strength. When you grow like a, you will grow like a garden lovely tended. You'll be like a spring whose water never runs out. Man, so many of us are feeling dried up and worthless. And the Bible gives you the answer. Do you want to feel better? Do you want to feel like a garden lovely, lovely tended? God is your nourishment. God is your strength. He's the one who makes you resilient, who strengthens you in times of trouble. So let me pray. Let me pray. I'd love to pray for you. So why don't you bow your head and talk to God. Talk to Him about some areas of your life that is really causing you to feel worthless and dried up. Some areas of your life that you feel like is not going well, that needs to change. And you need to be resilient too. Put it before God and I'll pray. Jesus, we come before you because at times we feel fragile, we feel weak. We feel like the world, our lives is slipping away from our hands. We feel unstable and insecure. We feel tired, Lord. So many of us are tired of the same old and this old life. And we want something new. We want the work of God to be part of our lives. We want to trust you. We want to be confident in you. We want to be resilient. So I pray, Father, that all those areas in our lives that cause us to feel fragile and weak, that you would help us realize that you are the one we should trust and have confidence on. Help us to remember that the storms of life was never meant to take to drop us or to hit us in the way that we cannot withstand. No, they're made to for us to withstand, and for that we ought to trust in you and you alone. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's in your holy name.